Audycje kulturalne w dobrym tonie.
Przy mikrofonie Martyna Matwiejuk. My name is Martyna Matwiejuk and you are listening to the podcast of the National Center for Culture Poland. Today in our studio our guest is Joanna Orlik, Deputy Director of the NCC. Hello.
Dzień dobry, bardzo mi.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Takim hasłem, które będziemy pewnie odmieniały przez wszystkie przypadki w tej
rozmowie. Conversation will be heavily impacted by the term cooperation, namely international cooperation, international exchange of experiences in the cultural sector, since a bilateral exchange of experiences between Poland and Norway, namely between the National Center for Culture Poland and a similar institution in Norway, that is Arts and Culture Norway, was carried out with the framework of the EEA financial mechanism, the European Economic Area, as well as the Norwegian financial mechanism. In a moment, we will probably discuss how the cultural sector can benefit from this cooperation, but I would like to start with the fact that for the National Center for Culture, it is, in a sense, a return to international cooperation in general.
Tak, dokładnie. I chętnie opowiem, dlaczego taka współpraca ma w moim przekonaniu ogromny sens, bardzo duży potencjał.
Yes, exactly. And I will be happy to tell you why. In my opinion, such cooperation makes great sense, has a great potential, and why it can be useful for the institution itself and for all its beneficiaries. An institution such as the National Center for Culture, which is involved in the support of cultural staff, should, in my opinion, have knowledge about how such activities are carried out in other countries in Europe. Not only in Europe, perhaps, but let's start with Europe. Checking what kind of institutions operate in different countries, institutions that are similar to us, that are, in a sense, our sister institutions, supporting cultural staff in different ways, whether by distributing various grants with a specific goal, a specific purpose, or by providing training support, or even simply by organizing various types of cultural activities, gives us great knowledge. It provides us with a very high level of knowledge, with an understanding what it is like in other countries. For example, the mechanisms that we also use, which we operate in a specific way, how they function in other countries. Well, it can really give an insight into the situation. It is often called benchmarking, that is, comparing ourselves to others, checking how others work. I think that such international cooperation, which is actually directed inwards to the interior of the country, but in order to have a broader view of the situation, to understand how these activities supporting cultural staff are implemented in other countries, is really very useful and very interesting for us. What is such cooperation like in practical terms?
Ten projekt, o którym pani powiedziała, ma oddzielny budżet, ma oddzielne finansowanie i pozwalał nam w związku z tym, po pierwsze, na przyjęcie gości z Norwegii, którzy przyjechali tutaj, gościliśmy ich w Krakowie.
This project you mentioned has a separate budget, has separate financing, which therefore allowed us, first of all, to host the guests from Norway. We took them to Krakow, we also received them in Warsaw. The delegation was quite numerous, several people, and we knew that they were very interested in several key areas that for some reason were important for them. The first significant area was the promotion of reading. That is why, among other things, we decided to arrange a meeting at the Polish Book Institute in Krakow. However, we also made a presentation, for example, in the National Library of Poland. This was meant to compare the activities undertaken to support the promotion of reading in Norway and Poland. This is one of the goals of such cooperation. Moreover, I would like to refer to a situation that occurred in the National Library, which impressed me very much. It was a presentation on how libraries had developed in Poland, on how we got to the stage when cultural institutions, such as cultural centers, but also partly libraries, engage in various types of activities, whether during the COVID or during the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the refugee crisis that we experienced in the connection with this aggression. It turned out that our institutions, which was very interesting for the Norwegians, engaged spontaneously, as if from the bottom upwards, in a very active way. For our guests from Norway, it was very surprising. According to them, Norwegian institutions, whose statutory activities are not so broad, would not be ready to come up with such crazy bottom-up aid initiatives, while in Poland, it was possible. I have to say that I am rather a supporter of order and a regulated situation, also in the world of culture, because a regulated situation is much more understandable, much more transparent. Everyone knows what to do. It turns out, however, that in relation to cultural centers in particular, this habit of doing very different things works very well when, for example, no guidelines. Thus, we learned something extremely important about ourselves on the occasion of the visit of the Norwegians, which we would now like to explore, and we already have some ideas on how to try to understand these situations.
Rzeczywiście ostatnie lata pokazały, że nie na wszystko jesteśmy w stanie się przygotować. Zastanawiam się, czy te sposoby funkcjonowania.
Indeed, recent years have shown that we are not able to prepare for everything. I wonder whether the ways the cultural industry functions in Poland and Norway can be easily compared. You mentioned, for example, this situation of the change in society. Who belongs to the society? Anyone who knows something about Norway has certainly heard of the Sami, the indigenous people who live in the areas of, among others, today's Norway, but also Finland. On the other hand, a substantial part of the Norwegian society is made up of immigrants who may have a completely different cultural background. And now we have to somehow design this culture in such a way that we can respond to these needs, to the sensitivities of everyone. The war that the Russian Federation has been firing for years in Ukraine has also resulted in many migrants coming to Poland. And on the other hand, it is the value of locality that has been strongly emphasized when talking about Polish culture for a few years. I wonder if, in a way, the Polish culture sector faces similar challenges in this respect as the Norwegian one.
Oczywiście, na pewno da się powiedzieć i o podobieństwach, i o różnicach. Może zacznę od takiej różnicy, która zwróciła naszą uwagę, kiedy my z kolei byliśmy w Oslo, w Norwegii.
Of course, we can certainly talk about both similarities and differences. Maybe I will start with a difference that caught our attention where we went in Oslo, Norway. One of the parts of our study visit was a visit to the National Museum, where it turned out that the museum had been conducting intensive activities promoting the culture of the Sami minority for several years. The museum tells us about this culture's specific features, the differences, why it is difficult to talk about a national minority, considering that it does not live only in Norway, it lives in the whole North, connecting several countries with each other, and whose culture is completely different from Norwegian, Swedish or Finnish or Russian, because in fact a part of the Sami population also lives in the Russian Federation. Having said that, the first exhibit to which the guide drew our attention when we were at the National Museum was an exhibit, I do not remember the name of the author now. It was located in the hall in the foyer of the museum. It is made available in such a way that you do not actually have to buy a ticket to be able to experience it. I also feel that it is very significant that we are in Oslo, in the Museum of the National Art, and at the same time the main exhibit to which the viewer's attention is directed is an exhibit by an artist who is a representative of a minority. By the way, if I remember correctly, Norway showed it as an element of its pavilion at one of the Venice Biennale. It was very interesting, and I would also say that it was an intense experience. Maybe I will not talk about the details of what this exhibit looks like, but it is also an emotionally moving object related to the killing of animals, in short, and showing how the Sami culture used not to be respected in their traditional values. I think it made a huge impression on us, and we certainly came out of this visit with some emotional commitment. On the other hand, the purpose of the meeting with the National Museum, with the team of the National Museum in Oslo, was also to talk about various types of adjustments, amenities that we prepare for people with various needs. And what our surprise was when it turned out that when it comes to people with auditive or visual needs or disabilities or mental disabilities, the museum actually did not have as much to offer as we expected. Here in Poland, we very actively educate on how, above all, the cultural institutions should open up to the needs of their recipients, with these needs being of a very different nature, and should take them all into account. It was a huge surprise, but also, frankly speaking, a reason for satisfaction, because it turned out that in some piece of educational reality, or broadly speaking, in a field of cultural institutions, we have something to share with Norwegians, something about which you can tell and show that certain system solutions that we implement in Poland can be, well, really modern and very advanced. What is more, this project provided an opportunity to get to know not only Norwegians, but also to establish some initial contact with other countries, where these agencies supporting the development of culture through the distribution of grants and financial support, and which also operate very differently in different countries, and which together form the International Federation of Arts Councils and Culture Agencies Network, which the National Center for Culture joined this year, can be a source of very interesting knowledge.
To dochodzimy chyba teraz do najważniejszej rzeczy, czyli tego,
I think we have come to the most important thing, which is how we can learn from such meetings, from such cooperation, from this exchange of experiences, bilateral or actually multilateral, how such cooperation can also help to strengthen the position of culture in society in general, because I assume that this is the priority of all employees of this sector, regardless of the country. How can institutions such as the NCC take advantage of such meetings?
Chętnie odniosę się tutaj do kolejnej nawiązanej współpracy.
At this point, I would like to refer to another cooperation we have established and to another task undertaken by the National Center for Culture this year, namely the creation of a new brand, Polish Capitals of Culture. As the National Center for Culture, we have been entrusted with the coordination of this project. For those of you who know that Lublin will be the European Capital of Culture 2029, it is worth adding that next year, in 2026, Bielsko-Biała will be the first Polish capital of culture, and in the following year, Katowice, and in 2028, Kołobrzeg. It will be the first series of situations in which a Polish city bears the title of Polish capital of culture. Right now, this is such a fascinating moment. First of all, we see the huge involvement of these three cities shortlisted for the European Capital of Culture title. They eventually did not receive this title, but a different solution was produced and offered to them. And right now, we are determining what it means to be the Polish Capital of Culture, what this title entails, and what its features are, what people who come to the Polish Capital of Culture can expect. Whether it will be rather large events, festivals, or maybe some type of activities together with the three cities benefiting from this title. However, of course, we have checked whether such a title already exists in other European countries, and we have contacted Italy, which for several years has been organizing the Italian Capital of Culture, and their agency, again, having this type of agency that is a foundation established by the Ministry of Culture to manage the Italian capitals of culture has already collected numerous experiences. Only last week we met with a representative of this foundation to learn about how and with what problems this foundation or even this mechanism of financing the Italian capital of culture has been struggling in order to learn from mistakes and not to make mistakes that someone else has already made. Or, to put it positively, to learn which solutions work, which good ideas bring benefits, which ideas could be implemented in Poland. I think that in Audycje Kulturalne we will also return to what is behind the slogan of the Polish Capital of Culture. We will also return to the topic of international cooperation and, above all, the lessons we can learn from this cooperation. Today, Joanna Orlik, Deputy Director of the National Center for Culture, talked about it in detail in Audycje Kulturalne. Thank you very much. You are listening to Audycje Kulturalne, and today with me, Thea Breivik from the Arts and Culture Norway, we are going to talk about the cooperation between our institutions, between our countries. Welcome to our studio. Hello.
Thank you, and hello.
Poland and the National Center for Culture Poland in particular is not the only institution, not the only country that ACN cooperates with. What is the whole idea behind these numerous collaborations that Norway conducts in the cultural sector with other European countries?
I think I have to say that the frame for this cooperation is the EEA grants. So we are the contact point for the culture programs under the EEA grants, EOG, in Norway. And we have collaboration with 8 countries in Europe connected to these grants. So there are 8 countries in Europe that have culture programs under the EEA grants. And normally we would work with the Ministry of Culture in the 8 countries that we have culture programs. And we have seen and we have really had a strong wish to connect with our sister organizations. Because we are not a ministry, we are an arts council, we are a directorate, and we are also a secretariat for the Norwegian Cultural Fund. We are under the Ministry of Culture in Norway, and we found it very interesting to get to know other institutions on our level and on with the same responsibility or almost the same responsibility as we have. So that was why we connected with arts councils and directorates in this project. So Poland is one of actually 7 collaborations that we have this year.
And based on these collaborations, would you say that our culture policy between these countries differs significantly? Are our approach to using culture, to changing reality through culture, very different?
Oh, that's a very interesting question and a little bit hard to answer. I will try. There are many things that are similar in the culture policy, and I think also there are many similarities with the European culture policy. But I think what differs is at least there is one significant thing in Norway, and that is we are the secretariat for the Norwegian Cultural Fund, and this cultural fund is managed on the basis of the arm's length principle. So that means that the decisions on quality in the arts connected to the applications to this fund would be approved and discussed by the culture sector itself, by experts collected from the sector. And this is a little bit different from country to country. How is the funding operated?
So their position is quite strong, right?
Yeah. That's a very important principle in the Norwegian culture policy. And then we see there are different varieties of this in the different European countries. But when it comes to Poland and our collaboration with the National Center for Culture, we see that we are quite different because we have this setup with a lot of committees with experts from the field, which I believe that is different from National Center for Culture. So this is one thing that we see is different.
So during this whole program, this project of cooperation, there were some study visits.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what are your experiences and thoughts on Polish cultural institutions that you have visited?
We have had a very nice study visit, and it was a combination of visiting Kraków and Warsaw. It's been so interesting to see Polish cultural institutions so professional and so really nice meetings, and it's always interesting to meet people working with the same things as you do, because we do have a lot in common and there are things that are different also, of course, but it's been really interesting and very inspiring, I must say.
Was there something that surprised you that you have thought, okay, this is something we could use, we could implement in Norway?
One thing that I found very interesting was we were visiting a culture center here in Warsaw, and we were talking about how flexible this cultural center could work. And especially we were talking about this example of when the invasion in Ukraine started, and there was a lot of refugees coming over from Ukraine, and how the culture centers were able to take responsibility for a lot of refugees and also open their houses and have sleeping places and manage to make some kind of welcoming centers just over a few or over a day or so, or maybe a few days. This was very interesting to see, because I don't know if we could compare that to Norway, if we would have the same flexibility and willingness to just to cope with the situation and meet such a big challenge and such an enormous need, which I understand there must have been. So this flexibility was very, very inspiring and very touching also to learn about.
So looking at how the world is changing, how unpredictable it becomes, and how our needs also change. What would you say are the values, are the areas of interest that institutions like ACN or NCC should focus on in the future?
Oh, that's also a big question. But it's, I think we all are quite taken by surprise how fast things can change and how unpredictable our time is. And I think to kind of have a strong belief in culture as a part of the democracy, as a part of the soft infrastructure for democracy, I think this is really something that we should be very clear about and very be ready to argue for. And I think also we talk a lot about preparedness and resilience, and this is something that the culture sector also, we should see our value in this respect.
So maybe I would focus on this democratic issue. Could you say something more about this connection between democracy and culture? Because I think this could be very interesting for people working in a cultural sector. So what are these democratic elements that we could implement to our work?
Yeah, first of all, I would say that the culture and arts sector is a field where we can exchange expressions and understanding about our society. And I think that's really important in a society where we feel that we are under pressure, that we are uncertain. And these expressions, it's really important that we safeguard the artistic freedom and this this space in the society to reflect and discuss on what's going on. So that is one aspect with the democracy. It should be open. It should be for all.
Are there many challenges that are common for all of us, regardless of whether we are talking about Norway, Poland, or Romania, for example?
One aspect is that when there's when there are challenges in the society, the culture is kind of under pressure that we need our resources for the weapons and for all this kind of building up against all these troubles. And then I think for us it's important to be clear about the culture as a part of our societies and why culture is an important part of the society and the, and being a democracy. And I think this is something, I think we see that in all countries, that culture doesn't come on the top line when times are challenging. But for us working in the sector, this is something we should be really aware of and also be good at arguing and good at telling why culture is important.
And by sharing our experiences, by meetings, we could learn from each other and we can strengthen each other. Thea Breivik from Arts and Culture Norway was my guest today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Audycje kulturalne w dobrym tonie.